study today, The Nature of the Fallen Man, Part 4. This is a series we will be going through, The Nature of the Fallen Man. So as we are going to continue this in-depth study of the nature of the fallen man, so far we have seen very clearly the total depravity of man. And we are going to see it more and more and more as we go on. The word depravity means what? The word depravity means wicked, corrupt, sinful. So when you say that man is totally depraved, it means that man is totally corrupt, totally wicked, totally sinful. There's nothing good in him. But of course we see the fallen man is physically alive and he looks pretty healthy, but morally he is dead toward God. He is spiritually dead. As a result, he has no will to reach out for God because he is spiritually dead. However, and his will is opposite to God's will, right? However, majority of the churches today do not believe this position. If you go back to history, we see Pelagian was a British monk who lived in the early times, during the times of St. Augustine, and he did not believe in the original sin. The sin of Adam, he believed that the sin of Adam was only for Adam. But the rest of the people, the rest of mankind was born innocent, without any sin in them. So the rest of the mankind, they were born innocent, without the original sin. As a result, man has the will to choose what is right and what is wrong. That's how the church got most of the doctrines from Pelagian. Of course, Pelagian was kicked out of the church as a heretic. But still, this false doctrine crept into the church, and we see today semi-Pelagianism. Semi-Pelagianism believes that man, when man sin affected man, as you know, is sin really affected man, and man is morally sick, but he is not totally dead towards God, but he is sick. Sin is like a disease. And as a result, he is totally not dead. He has still, he has some life, and he has the will to choose good and evil. And also they believe in salvation, man and God both had to cooperate in regard to salvation. There's God's part, then there's man's part. Both are important in cooperation. Roman Catholicism believes in this position, and also majority of the Protestant churches believe this view, and of course the cults. But although the early church and the reformers, they denied this position in the light of Scripture, because we know that salvation is of God. So we see that the majority of the churches have gone astray from the historical teachings of the Bible. And as a result, they do not teach that man is totally depraved. When do you hear about this? Have you heard the churches teaching man is totally depraved? Of course not. So our prayer is, oh Lord, bring the true doctrines back to the church. Let us see, did Jesus say anything good in man? Did Jesus even see anything good in man? Let's turn to John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Well, it's a multitude of people. When they saw the signs, the miracles, what Jesus did, many believed in his name. Of course, we know that their belief was an earthly belief. It's not a heavenly belief. Because the next verse says that, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. You and I could have got deceived, but not Jesus. Then he says, verse 25, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. God can see the motives. The heart of man is evil, totally corrupt. Unless God saves, nobody can get saved. Here Jesus knew what was in man. What is in man is not good. What we don't know what is in man. We don't. But I'll tell you, scarcely we know ourselves. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, of course we know the scripture, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none that understands. There is none that seek after God. They are all gone out astray. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that does good. No, not even one. Everybody knows their name here. Everybody knows their birthday here. And you know your name. You know your birthday. You know your house. You know your address. You know your favorite food. You know what you like. You know what you dislike. Even some of us here, we know about the other person, what they like and what they don't like, especially the husbands and the wives and the children. So, basically, you know a lot about yourself. But I'll tell you, you don't know about your heart. This is the deception comes in. Because the natural man, he does not see himself to be that wicked. They do not see themselves as enemies of God. When they hear about this teaching that they are enemies of God, they object to that. They say, I do not hate God. I don't. Because I know how I feel. Because I love God. And they say, I know myself better than you. And how can you say about myself? You don't know me. And if I hate one of my fellow friends, I know within myself that I hate that person. So how can you say that I hate God? And I know myself, and I don't hate God. And these are basic questions that you come across when you witness to people. What do you say? What do you say? This is where you need to get into. This is where it's so important, you know. You need to get into. You can't give a philosophical answer. You need to read the Word of God and you need to study the materials of Puritans. And they give answers to these tough questions. You know, the answer is that the natural man, he is blinded by the enemy. And the natural man, he doesn't know his heart. He doesn't know his heart. If you truly love God, then why don't you have a high esteem of God? If you truly love God, why don't you have a high esteem of God? Because you have despised the authority of God. That means the Word of God.
They don't read the Word of God. They don't study the Word of God. So how can you say that you love God? Jesus said, if you truly love me, you will obey my word. And his commandments, his word, has very little value to the fallen man. On the other hand, the fallen man, he esteems the vanities of the world high, far high above God. Yes, you're very fond of the movie actors. You know all the movies. You know all the sports stars. You know all the Hollywood stars. And you know what's going on in Robinson. You know what's going on in the stores, all the bargains. And you know everything what's going on around the world, the vanities and all the nice dresses and everything. The fad, what is the greatest fad, you know? But do you know the Word of God? So how can you say that you love God? You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. James 4:4 is very clear. We saw that scripture last time. So you are blinded yourself. So when you say you love God, you're a Christian, you're a hypocrite. If you love someone, you think about that person, don't you? If you are in a love affair, if you love somebody, your mind is most of the time is on that person. You have a very good communication. You tell all your everything, no secret. If you love somebody, you always think about that person. So if you love God, do you meditate on God all the time? Do you? The fallen man, he does not meditate upon God, neither his word. This is his love story, and this is his word. He doesn't, because he has no interest in God. His interest is below on this earth. In reality, when we speak of the Word of God, the fallen man is not comfortable. And we know that his will is contrary to the will of God. And his walk is in opposition to the commandments of the Word of God. If you had some kind of a deep hate towards a man, this is an example, if you have some kind of a deep hate and anger towards a man, and that man was a great enemy of yours, then one day you heard that man died, then of course your anger will die too. You don't have any more anger towards that man because he's dead, right? And so you do not have to worry about him anymore. He's gone. Your enemy is history. But if you receive the wrong information and found out that he's not really dead, now I found out that he's alive. And because you found out the wrong information, and you found out that he's alive, then what will happen? That hatred will come back again, right? And you will feel the same hatred like before you had. Well, in the same way, the natural man, he hates God. And many wish, I wish there's no God. I wish he is not here. When you go and do something sinful in secret when nobody is there, and you wish, I wish God doesn't see me. I wish he's not here. That's the natural man. The reason is, if you go back again, the natural man is an enemy of God. The true living God is holy. We know he's infinitely holy. He hates sin. He is a just God and He will not compromise with sin. And He will punish the sinners. But the natural man does not feel comfortable with the true living God. Instead, then what the natural man does is, instead, he forms a God that will suit his opinions. Instead, he will form a God that will suit his ways. And he picks a religion that will really suit for him. Because there are multitudes of religions where he can pick and choose. And he makes a God on his own. He picks whatever that he wants. And a God that will compromise with sin. A God that is not infinitely holy. A God that will conform to his thinking. This is what I believe what God is. I know he loves me. I'll tell you. Psalm chapter 51 verse 20 speak of that person. If you turn with me to Psalm 51 20. Sorry, Psalm chapter, let me see, sorry, 50:21. Psalm chapter 50:21. Psalm 21 says, "The things you have done and I kept silent, you thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." Read it very carefully here. It means that the things you have done, that is a sinful act, God was silent. Then he says, "You thought that I was like you. You thought that I was like you. You thought that, you know, it's your God. My God is going to conform to the way I want to. My God is going to compromise sin. My God is not going to see everything what I do. My God is loving, even though I'm a, you know, he's not infinitely holy. And God is saying, you thought that I was like you." So they form a God according to their opinions, according to what they think. And still, they can call that God, God Almighty, or Jesus. That's the most sad part of it, right? John Calvin, he exposed this part of Scripture, and Calvin says, on this Scripture, this is what he says, quote, "But in their secret and corrupt imagination, they figure God to be different from what He is, that they take occasion from His conceived forbearance to indulge a false peace of mind, and escape the discredit which could not fail to feel were they seriously persuaded that God was the avenger of sin. We have sufficient proof in the supine security which hypocrites display, that they must have formed such false conceptions of God. They not only exclude from their thoughts his judicial character, but think of him as the patron and approver of their sins. The fallen man do not like the true attributes of the living God. He hates his holiness. He hates his justice. The more, just imagine, if God is infinitely holy and he can see exactly what you're thinking, your heart and everything, he doesn't like that. That's why men put curtains. That's why men want to close everything. I don't want anybody to see. What had happened when Adam and Eve sinned? The first thing is they wanted to cover themselves, right? Natural man is totally corrupt. Corrupt. And they don't like his wrath punishing the sinners. So they pick up a religion that suits their opinion. So they can have a peace of mind now.
whole life reform doctrine. That's too much. I'd rather go the other. Yeah, they are, anyway, they are Christians too. I feel more comfortable there. And they say, this is my God. I'll tell you, that's not the real true living God of the Bible. You're deceived. Deceived. Deception. The enemy deceived Adam, who was holy, who was perfect, and he can deceive, he can do that, he can deceive almost anybody, not for the grace of God. If a serpent sees you far away, and he's not going to spit poison at you and bite you if he sees you far away, right? But if you come near to the serpent, then he will spit poison and bite you. In the same way, you may be a nice person, and they will be very comfortable as long as God is not going to interfere in your life. But when God interferes in their life, that's the time they will bite you. Remember Jesus? Time when he came to expose the sins of the Jews, they got very angry and killed him, right? So I'll tell you, you do not know your heart. We scarcely know our heart. As the Bible says in Genesis 8:21, you don't have to turn with it, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Since you are born, the natural man seems to be good and peaceful, and he seems to be a very nice person. I'll tell you, give him a little power, give him some money, you'll see a changed man. What will happen if you give a lot of power to a man? You will see his true character coming up. He will look like a dog, but if you give him a lot of power, you will see him as a ferocious wolf. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. We see a story here. We see the story of Hazael. And Hazael said, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He answered. This is talking to Elisha. And he answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with a sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child." And here we see the story of Hazael. At the time, he did not have power at this time. And he seemed to be a harmless person. He was a nice person, a good person. But you will see, Elisha saw how he's going to be a very rude, like a person, like a ferocious wolf later on when the power comes. But after that, when he became the king of Syria, his true nature came up. You will see total depravity in full color. Read 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32. Those days the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel, and Hazael conquered. Those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. He smote them. And of course we see the story how he killed, massacred everybody. What? He seems to be a nice guy at the beginning, but when he became the king, totally became a... That's what happened to Hitler. When Hitler was small, he was okay. But when power came, what happened? What happened to Mussolini? What happened to Idi Amin in Africa? You heard him.
What happens to the corrupted politicians before they come into power? They seem to be very nice. But once that power gets in, what happens? What happened to the corrupted ministers when they start off? Huh? You hear all these ministries, when they start off like good. But what happened when the building, their kingdom expands, when all the money comes? They have these airplanes and the limousines now. Same thing. You will see total depravity in flying colors then. What happened to the Pope? The same thing. Absolutely corrupted guy. Most corrupted. You see total depravity in him. What happened to just the general man? The same thing. Well, as long as the poor man is poor and they seem to be humble, and suddenly you will see some money coming in. You know what happened to our ministry in the Philippines. I don't want to mention names. And, you know, it's the same thing. But when money came, head pops up, you don't see, you're different, your attitude becomes different. The same thing. Hey, you may be doing a small job, then suddenly God gives a promotion. Now you get a big salary, fat salary. What happens to your old friends? What happens to your attitude, your mood? Everything changes. And this is where, when we see this, there is arrogance and pride in the natural man. So the natural man appears to be good, but when the opportunity comes, you will see their total depravity. You got to wait for that opportunity. So when the opportunity comes, you will see the total depravity. I mean, talk about the religious leaders. The most religious leaders, out of all the religious leaders, the most high up religious leaders were the Jews and the Pharisees, Sadducees, right? And they appear to be very nice people. They appear to be very good until Jesus came. He exposed their hearts. This shows that they do not know their heart. The natural man doesn't know his heart. And the natural man cannot be trusted. God sees the heart and knows man in and out. Man is enmity with God to the very core. And as we said in our studies before, but God has restrained, He has restrained man. Otherwise, everybody would have been like Hitler and Pharaoh. But when God takes away that restraining, then you will see the total depravity coming with color in the natural man. Another example. If there was a very wrathful man, but this wrathful man is under the power of another man. Okay? There's a wrathful man, but he is under the power of another man who is much stronger and powerful than him. You will not see the real nature of this wrathful man. But if the other man, the strong man who is stronger than him, if he is taken away, then what happens? You will see this natural man, his real colors coming out. Outwardly, he can disguise in hypocrisy as long as somebody else is powerful over him, right? But when his enemy or when the other person is stronger than him takes being taken away, you will see the total depravity. In the same way, the natural man is under restraint since infancy. But once that restraint is taken away, we see his enmity against God with full strength.
Many times the fallen man finds comfort in the church. Yeah, there are a lot of fallen men in the church. Remember, Jesus said, where the wheat and the tares will grow together, right? But at the judgment day, he's going to separate the wheat and the tares. So the fallen man is very comfortable in the church. The fallen man likes the warmthness in the church, the warm fellowship in the church. Lot of love, lot of hospitality. I feel very comfortable here. Turn with me to Acts chapter 28, verse 1. When they had escaped, they then found out that each island called Malta. Falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when Paul had gathered the bundle of the stick and laid on the fire, there came a viper. And here we see everybody was, you know, gathered together in the warmness. The fallen man find warmness in the fellowship. What? As a viper. I'll remember a story. When I was in the Philippines, at the very beginning of our ministry, we bought donuts for the people who came. Every Sunday we had donuts. We asked somebody to make and we had donuts. So, because we minister to the very poor area, and donuts, today if you buy donuts, I don't care if they'll come or not, but those people, donuts is more like a luxury. They don't eat donuts, those poor people. It's a big thing to eat donuts. So there were many people attending the church. Then later our money ran out, so did the donuts ran out. And the next Sunday, people came. I'm sorry, we don't have donuts today, but we have the Word of God. But the following Sunday came, no people. Only a very few people. And it dropped. And here we see during the ministry of Jesus too, many came because of the miracles and the bread. Because they were coming to fill, get their stomachs filled. You know, also I experienced the Philippines that there are many who came, I mean, a lot of people, you know, trying to get friendly with me because they knew that I came from America. Because they see the dollar sign in me. But later on when they found out I didn't have much money, I mean, they left me. The fallen man feels comfortable in the church. We feel comfortable. But I'll tell you, actions are the best interpreters of the heart. Behavior will show that they are enemies of God. If you are walking contrary to God's counsel, contrary to His commands, contrary to His glory, setting Him low in your life, is and have much great interest for this world and living for your interest, these are sufficient evidence of your enmity towards God. Yes, there are many folks who will look very religious and pious and good people inside of others. But I'll tell you, first there are snakes in the church. Pretty strong statements. As we go next week, I'll tell you, we are going to get even stronger. They have much hope from God. They expect a lot of promises from God. But when things doesn't work out, when trials and persecutions hit hard and very hard at you, you will see that person who was like a dove to be a viper now. Before you were praising God, now there's filthy language coming out of your lips. What you need is just an opportunity. Before, you're loving, but now there's anger, hatred, evil thoughts. It is like a serpent. You leave the serpent alone, don't disturb the serpent, he's alright. But as if somebody disturbs the serpent, I tell you, he will hiss at you and spit venom at you. The same way, when things are going fine, everything is dandy, you're fine. But when things doesn't go wrong, when things go hard, this is what happened even to the early church. Early church, when people came and when they found out that they were followers of Christ and they were brought to the lion's den, the arena, and there were live lions, and they were said, you're going to be eaten by the lions. Many left their faith. Many said, no, we will follow Caesar. But there were few who were not scared, few who were willing to die for Christ. But the majority left. In the same way today, if there's really hard persecution, then you will see who are the natural man and who are not. And this is in the church I'm talking. God is going to separate. The wheat and the tares are going to be separated on the judgment day. It has to be a judgment that will come and you will see the separation. Therefore, we need to consider our heart. Consider your behavior in the light of the Word of God. Jeremiah said, how can thou say, I am not polluted? How can you say that I am not polluted? Jeremiah 2:23. Psalm 119 verse 70 says, their heart is as fat as grease. Your heart is as fat as grease. Psalm 119 verse 70. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Matthew chapter 15 verse 19, Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So we need to be honest before God and see who we are. And remember, if you truly love the Lord, you will meditate upon Him. You will take time in meditating upon Him. You will take time in reading His Word. And if you have a lot of times for other things, but all the priorities being taken care of, but when it comes to the Word of God, why is it has to be the last thing? Why? And why is it so difficult to come to church? And why is it so, even listening to the Word of God, why is there not interest in listening to the Word of God? Why? Why is it that people get tired when they hear the Word of God? Why? Why? Is it because they are interested somewhere else? Why people get so excited when they hear the worldly things? They get excited and they put all their energy
And, you know, they put all their energy and all the focus and everything, and they don't get tired, they get so excited. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's different. And this is how it should be. It should be the opposite. As Christians, we should get excited. The early Christians, the true Christians, when there were no trials, they were wondering, why? I mean, they liked if there was a trial. They get excited. Wow! You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Huh? For theirs is the kingdom of God. But today you are praying, oh, I don't want persecution. And here, you know, this is so important in the Word of God that we need to be molded. And we are so comforted in a country that is so much comfort, lavishness, money, and we get so lethargic, lazy. And we have no desire to witness, no interest to witness. And we can see millions of people who are perishing. Things that they think that they are Christians. When I went there yesterday, I saw all these people going and all the cheering noises and the music. I was, you know, I thought, this is like any other event, like a Disneyland. I feel so, you know, I thought, you know, I'm not here to judge, but I was like that. Then I saw, but praise God, God, thank you for saving me. You showed me the doctrines of grace. Now I'm saved totally by you. And we have a passion for those people now. But, you know, it's sometimes I wonder, we hear it over and over again. And we come next week. What did you learn? Well, I don't know. What did I learn? You forget. Because your interests are somewhere else. If you are meditating on the Word of God, you will not forget. You know, those people, most of those Puritans and most of the early Christians, like even like Apostle Paul or the early New Testament writers, they didn't have computers or they didn't have anything. They didn't have a Bible like ours. Everything was in the head. Everything was in the heart. Because they meditated the Word of God. But today, people have no time to meditate. Now, the greatest thing, I tell you, the most sweetest thing is to have a sweet communion with God, you and the Lord. You know, outwardly we can show beautifully, huh? When we get together. Beautiful prayers. We are going to talk about it next week. But I'll tell you, your private time, meditation is very important. So we need to be honest before God. We need to cry out for Him for our sinful ways and realize how evil the heart is and ask the Lord in prayer to search your heart. Let's pray.